Well, it's good to be with you. You may notice I am not Jason, and you won't get us. We're at least height-wise, we're close, but I think that's about the only connection we have. We're going to be turning to 1 John. Beginning in 1 John, it's found on page 1301 in your pew Bibles. And we're going to be looking primarily at verses 5 through 7, but we'll be reading verses 1 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Listen to this now. This is God's word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we had heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that we can come to you this night, that we can hear your word. May what is said here tonight be to your truth and to our hearts a challenge. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you come to any book in the scriptures or the letters here, we want to at least have a little bit of backdrop as to why we're looking at this. And I want to ask the question, what's the purpose of 1 John? Why did John write this? And he tells us actually at the end of his letter, and he says in chapter 5, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So I want to suggest John's primary purpose here is to bring Christians to an absolute assurance of their salvation, to lead those who are already believers into a deeper understanding of their faith and to a confidence in that what they have is really what they have. And part of what John is addressing here is that in his time, there were those who had stepped away from the fellowship of believers. And so the issue is there were people who would claim a certainty that they themselves were Christians, but that was not based in any truth at all. Or to put it in John's word, he can claim to be a child of God, which in one form or another is what he actually is not. And maybe even worse, not even a child of God, but he may be a child of the devil. And so the question we're going to address tonight is how can a person who claims to be a believer guard against the presumption that he is a believer if he's not? we need to ask ourselves this question. And so what John does in this letter is he addresses this, and he offers us three tests, which in one form or another is repeated throughout this letter. And these three tests follow in this pattern. There is a moral test, and that's the idea, the test of righteousness or obedience. I need to look at my life and say, is this what I'm about? There is a social test that he sets forth in 1 John, which is just basically the test of love. Am I loving others the way I should? And the third is what I'm calling a doctrinal test. It's a test of my belief in Jesus Christ. And so the one we're going to look at tonight first is this moral test, the first one that comes to us. And it's the test about practical righteousness in the believer's life. And so as these tests come to us in 1 John, there are two aspects to the test. One, that test will challenge our presumptions about who we are. Are we really Christians? Are we in Christ? But secondly, that test should then lead us to what I'm calling a holy boldness to live our life before Christ and before others, because we do know these things to be true for us. And so our testing begins in verse 5 with our examination of who God is and our fellowship or lack of fellowship with him. And so the test here is whether our fellowship is with God in the light or in the darkness. And so I want to first start with God is light. Look at verse 5. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. God is light. He's not merely a source of light amongst others. He's not a light bearer. Light is not a character trait of him. He is light. Now, can you explain this to me? I can't understand this. This is above us because God is above us. But that's the picture we have. And we see that God is light in the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus is speaking to the people, and he says to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So how do we understand light? How do we think about this in relationship to God who is light? Well, we want to say that it fills wherever it is to the full. It penetrates into things. I thought about bringing a flashlight and annoying you with a light in your eyes, but I remember as a camp counselor, we told our kids, do not shine the light in your camper's counselor's eyes. So I decided that was not going to be a good idea. But that's the idea here, is that light just penetrates into our lives and into the corners. When you're looking for something, you usually get a light to help if there's darkness where you're at. Light is also life-giving. It causes growth. It causes vigor in our plants. I know lots of people are growing gardens, and that's because of the sun, the light that comes. It's important for plants. It's important for animals. It's important for us as human beings. And usually we find light as being a pleasant thing, a source of relief and gladness, maybe when it's not as hot as it is. But generally that's the thing. We like the light. So what are the characteristics of light that I just want us to think about? One, it's clear, it's transparent, it's translucent, and it's obvious to everyone who is in the line of that light. They see it and they know it's there. Light makes reality visible and clear to us. Now, the other thing about light is whenever light comes into contact with something, the light itself is not affected by what it shines on. It remains the same clear, clean element, no matter what horrors or evils or rottenness upon which it shines. The light is not affected by it. It picks up no stain. Its bright and clarity is never diminished by what it shines upon. And so we see here God is referenced as light. God sees all, and it's obvious to the world. Romans chapter 2 will talk about this, that the world knows him. They clearly see him, but they choose to exchange that truth of who God is, the light that they can see, for a lie. And yet it doesn't change who he is. It doesn't change his light. He's present everywhere, and everyone is aware of his presence. And that's the message for the world around us. The fellowship is there. The first four verses talk about how there is this fellowship between the Father and the Son, and that's what is there, and that's what the Son came to do. He came to proclaim this to the world. And that's what John does in those first four verses. He says, I've seen him, I know him, I'm declaring what he has declared to me. He is light, and this is where we need to be. So God is light. But on a negative way, he says this, in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. He is pure. He is all of one. There's no mixture of light and dark in him. We know that in the world around us, those who worship foreign gods and have idols, those idols tend to run hot and cold. They tend to one day be okay and the next day they're not. They do what's right and the next time they do what's wrong. But God is not like that. He is supreme. He's continuously unchanging in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, perfect in all these ways. He holds all of these attributes without any flaw, without any shadow of anything less than perfection. His essence is pure light and righteousness and perfection. And there is no surrender of the light that God is to the darkness. He never concedes. He never compromises. There are no terms of treaty for God. There's no shading of the light on which the darkness presses so terribly. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Even when Jesus, the Son of God, the one who he has fellowship with, as John tells us in the beginning of this letter, that Son of God calls out to his heavenly Father. He's on the cross and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the heavenly light, the heavenly Father does what? He has to turn away from his sin-bearing Son. He loves his Son. We know that. They're in fellowship. But in this moment, he cannot be in the presence of the sin of the world. There is no compromise, even if Jesus is bearing that. And he hides his face from him. God can give no relief to sin in and of itself. He doesn't negotiate a softer sentence for his Son. His only begotten Son drinks the cup of the wrath of God to the very bottom. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So we come to verse 6. And this is where the testing begins. Look at verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. This is a staggering deception. This is an incredible lie for the person who is in this place. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie. It's not who we are. It's a lie. We cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with the God who we've described, who is light. It's impossible. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? And then he says, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? He who would profess these things is not merely just speaking a lie, he's living a lie. He's acting it out, is living an untruth. Well, let us think a little bit about what it is to walk in darkness. What does this look like? Job chapter 24, verses 13 through 17. It's an incredible description of this very style of life. There are those who rebel against the light, who do not know its ways or stay in its paths. When daylight is gone, the murderer rises up and kills the poor and needy. In the night, he steals forth like a thief. The eye of the adulterer watches for dusk. For dusk, he thinks no eye will see me, and he keeps his face concealed. In the dark, men break into houses, but by day they shut themselves in. They want nothing to do with the light. For all of them, deep darkness is their mourning. They make friends with the terrors of darkness. That's the picture of those who love the darkness rather than the light. And even here in 1 John, John says this in chapter 2, verse 11. Because maybe you can say, well, okay, I'm not those things. I might not be doing what you just read out of Job. But here's what he says to us. Whoever hates his brother, whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Do we see ourselves in that place? Are we refusing to live as God calls us to live? It is walking in this unholy manner, and we engage in the works of the flesh. Again, another passage that helps us see these things in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And the writer says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So darkness is the opposite of light. Instead of openness, there's concealment and disguise. Instead of an unchangeableness, there's this easy impressionability. I listen to what the world says. I do what the world says to do. What else do we understand about darkness? Well, darkness hides. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the verdict. And this is the situation where Jesus is there with Nicodemus and talking with him. And he says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Do you have something you're hiding that you don't want others to see? Could you say something like this? I would be horrified if others knew that, and you fill in your own blank. What would you not want someone to know is going on? I'm probably not out in the dark of night. I'm not like we said in those in Job, doing grievous harm. I'm not carrying out some horrible deed, but I might not go away and secretly gloat over some victory. And I might be engaged in some secret sin or passion. You know what you're doing. You know what's in your hearts. Darkness hides. But when I wish to hide a part of me from God or myself, when I'm doing that, then I am walking in this perilous darkness. When I have that nagging sense of wrong in my life, and I choose to hide it, and I start telling myself lies like, well, I must be mistaken. It must not really be true of me. Or it's not that bad. Like all other, there's a lot of other people who are doing the same thing. It's no big deal, and we make great excuses. We justify our actions for our questionable activities. And in the midst of these things, I tell myself, hey, I'm still in fellowship with God. I lie and do not live by the truth. This walking in darkness is the lie. This is the untruth. It's more than just this hypocrisy that comes from my mouth saying what's not true of me. It's an hypocrisy with my whole life, the actions of my life, my sinful activity. And so saying I have fellowship when in fact I deliberately walk in darkness, that is the lie. I cannot have fellowship with the Heavenly Father, with Jesus, his Son, because he is the light, and Jesus is that light. Sin alienates me from God. It keeps me from others. It destroys relationships in our worlds, in our life together. It disrupts these things. And so instead of peace, we find discord. Instead of harmony, there's disorder. Instead of fellowship with one another, there's enmity, strife, and conflict. So is there any good that comes of this? Is there another way? We look at verse 7. This is the fellowship of the light. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. This is the fellowship of the light. This is what we are called to be. This is what John wants the reader to hear. The light we walk in is the same light in which Jesus is, in which the Father is emanating from him. This true, glorious holiness shines on us. This is what we have when we walk in the light. John chapter 3, we read that the beginning part of that talks about the darkness and the evil, but verse 21 says this, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. That's the picture of the fellowship. We show that light of Christ to those around us. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You could say that we see things in the same light as he does. That's the picture we have here. Therefore, we will be in agreement with our God. We will understand one another. We will have sympathy towards those around us. We will have fellowship together. We will cooperate with one another. We will join the fellowship of the light. What's the foundation of this fellowship of the light? Can I bear this light on my own? My sin is before me. I know that I'm a sinner. How dare I go out into this light of Christ, this light that reveals me as who I am, this pure light? Well, John gives us the answer to that question. How do I do this? It's the end of the last part of verse 7 there. It's because of the blood of Jesus, his Son. And that purifies us from all sin. It's all we need. I don't need more than that. There's nothing to be added. I can't add anything to what Christ has done. I can't produce deeds or any activities that will do anything to cover my sin, because his blood shed on the cross pays for my sin. It covers it all. It covers them completely. And it does it now. This is an application that is now. It's in the present. It's not something that we're looking forward to that we don't have any sense. Yes, we're on the road of growing more and more like Christ. No, we're not perfect now, but we can know that this blood has been shed for us. It's not merely a hoped for future thing, but it's now in the moment when you need it, when you're dealing with the troubles and things that come into your life. Right now, if you walk in the light, as God is in the light, you have fellowship with God. That's the truth. That's what John is there. He's telling us. You stand at this moment with complete and perfect pardon of sin because of what Jesus Christ has done. You are in that fellowship. This is the picture of the husband and wife as Jesus is in his church. This is on my mind since I have a wedding coming up. My daughter's getting married on Friday, and I'm just reminded of this truth of the picture of marriage and what Jesus is doing. Listen to the words from Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus presents her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's what Christ has done for you and I. If we are in him, if we are fellowshipping with him, if we are walking in the light, then this is what we can know, this kind of thing in our life. It's a wonderful word to those who are tired and weary and afraid of the dark. Tired of living in the untruth, tired of being something, pretending to be what you're not, to hide or cover up my sinful deformities and things that are in my life, putting on a false image of decency and beauty and kindness, going through that the motions of those things. If you're weary of all the false posturing, all the lies and self-deluding, self-righteousness, then come to the light. Are you weary of the attempts to cover up, to hide the things that are in your life? Is it possible to do something differently? I want to step from darkness into the light, into God. Is it possible? The answer John wants you to hear is yes. It's possible to step out of that into the light. I can make this change through the power of the Spirit who changes who I am. We see the picture of this from Isaiah chapter 1. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. That's the picture. Even my heart, which is black and stained and dirty beyond anything I can do about it, Isaiah speaks these words that remind us of even Isaiah of Psalm 51. Jesus shed his blood on the cross. He is the one who makes what was dead and dirty and dark alive. And through him, he says, you can pass from darkness into the light. You can have that fellowship with the Father. Towards the end of Isaiah in chapter 60, he says, your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. That's the picture of coming into the light, trusting in Jesus Christ that you are made clean. So what is your answer to the test that we've looked at? Are you walking in the fellowship with the light, or are you walking in fellowship with the darkness? If you're walking in darkness, won't you come to the fellowship of the light? It's better than the fellowship that is known anywhere else in the world. Whatever the world is offering you as its fellowship to come to them, this is better. Fellowship with God who is the light. Luke 11:36 says, therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you. That's what you can have. Fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, who secured your fellowship with his blood. What a marvelous grace we have in this. Fellowship with the light, walking in the light. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, sometimes we do fool ourselves. Sometimes we think more highly than we should, and sometimes we think more lowly than we should. Lord, let us have the discernment that John is expressing here, that we can test these things, that we can come to know that we have life in Jesus Christ, that we are walking in the light. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would give us this truth, that would communicate this in our lives as we walk day by day. And Lord, if there are those who are walking in darkness, who are hiding, who are blind to these things, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be upon them, that you would take hearts that are dead and stony and make them alive in Jesus Christ, that they would be washed clean in this way, that they would have that fellowship walking in the light. And Lord, if there are those here we know who are walking in the light, who know these things, but sometimes are led astray by the sins that come upon them, the temptations, Lord, turn them back to you. By the power of your Spirit, let them remember and believe and live out the truths of who you are and what you have done in Jesus Christ, that we would know that fellowship of the light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.